Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris. She is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Sonali.
Well, President Obama will address a gathering of law enforcement and other officials this morning on day one of a three-day conference aimed at undermining recruitment efforts by groups like ISIS. Critics worry that the tactics that emerge from this gathering could include ongoing surveillance of communities domestically. Although the White House hoped the meeting's agenda would be set by community groups, many are boycotting it. Meanwhile, the State Department announced yesterday that the U.S. would begin selling armed drones to other countries. In response to the global public outcry against drone wars, the Obama administration was careful to outline a series of guidelines for the sale and use of the drones. The Washington Post summarized, quote, "The new policy is a delicate balancing act for the Obama White House, which has sought to elevate human rights in its foreign policy, but has also employed drone strikes like no other government in history." Well, Courtney, I bet if the U.S. stopped selling and using armed drones to wage wars, that might be the most effective counter-recruitment strategy against ISIS. What do you think?
Well, that's probably true, Sonali. I mean, this decision to expand the sale of armed drones to other countries is bad. I mean, let's be clear. The United States is hardly in a position to advise other countries about the safe and responsible use of armed drones. We know from a report that was released by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism in the UK that as of January of last year, more than 2,400 people had been killed with drones, the vast majority of them civilians, many of those civilians children. And those are just the deaths that we can confirm. The death toll is very likely, in fact, much higher. So drones are a bad idea. And the idea that we're going to be expanding the sale and accessibility of them when we really should be scaling back our own use of them is deeply troubling. But there's one group of people who will be very happy about the expanded sale of drones, and that's weapons makers. War is the business of the United States, and business is very good. The global drone market is estimated now to be worth about $6 billion. So I think we all know what this is really about.
Outgoing U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder reiterated yesterday his personal opposition to the death penalty in an event at the National Press Club. And calling for a national moratorium on capital punishment, Holder said, quote, "There's always the possibility that mistakes will be made. There is no ability to correct a mistake where somebody has, in fact, been executed. And that is, from my perspective, the ultimate nightmare," end of quote. Holder did not bring up his support for the death penalty in the trial of the Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. While his words have little legal impact, they reflected an increasing opposition to the death penalty. On Friday, Pennsylvania's Governor Tom Wolf announced a moratorium in his state, calling it, quote, "a flawed system that was ineffective, unjust, and expensive." Meanwhile, Holder's likely replacement, Loretta Lynch, who is still in the middle of confirmation hearings, is a supporter of capital punishment, saying it was, quote, "effective." Courtney, are you amazed that we continue to have debate and opposing views on the death penalty when most of the rest of the industrialized world has just done away with it?
Well, I can't say that I'm particularly surprised by this, Sonali. I mean, I grew up most of my life on military bases in Texas and other parts of the South, and that's a part of the country where the death penalty remains hugely popular. There's a lot of popular support for it. But I think that Attorney General Holder is absolutely right on this issue. The death penalty does need to be abolished. It doesn't work as a deterrent for crime. It's expensive. And we know that mistakes are made and innocent people have been executed. And so it seems that he's really in step with a lot of where the country is moving, where the tide of public opinion does seem to be shifting on the question of the death penalty. Here in Pennsylvania, for example, our new governor has issued a moratorium on the death penalty until a commission that he has appointed can review the efficacy of that measure and whether we should continue to practice that here in the state. So even though there are places in the country where I think there's still a lot of support for the death penalty, there seems to be enough of a concern that it doesn't actually work as a strategy for deterring crime, and that there are too many mistakes that are made to make it a viable strategy for policing and criminal justice.
And finally, the University of Massachusetts Amherst, it's making headlines for its controversial decision to bar Iranian students from pursuing graduate degrees in certain science fields. In making its decision, the university cited broad U.S. sanctions that include denying U.S. student visas to Iranian nationals who want to study nuclear and energy-related sciences. But speaking through an anonymous official, the U.S. State Department countered that UMass might have interpreted the sanctions too strictly. The official told the LA Times, quote, U.S. law does not prohibit qualified Iranian nationals coming to the U.S. for education in science and engineering. The move has angered Iranian student groups and community organizations who feel UMass Amherst is adopting a discriminatory policy. Courtney, what do you think is behind the university's decision? It says it doesn't want to be penalized for violating sanctions, but the State Department says it's not a violation of sanctions.
Well, I mean, I honestly can't say at this point what the motivation is and why UMass Amherst is enacting this policy at this point, especially 3 years after these sanctions were enacted by the government. It seems like the kind of preemptive strike thinking that always gets us into trouble. And it's clear that UMass Amherst is out of line here. The law is very clear. The State Department is the entity that is responsible for determining whether students from Iran are entering the United States with the purposes of acquiring skills that will then allow them to go back and to support the development of Iran's oil, gas, natural gas, and nuclear energy industry. So it's not really clear here why UMass is doing this, but it clearly is a discriminatory policy. They are overstepping their bounds and engaging in the kind of zealous over-policing of Iranian students that is completely in contradiction with its core institutional values.
Courtney, always a pleasure to have you on. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Sonali.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. We'll be right back.